It's time for the End of Conversation Podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Once again, back is the incredible. Yo. Yo, what up, y'all? This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. We back. Shout out to Ali. He is away. He will be back soon. And I'm not just chatting shit, as the people say. That's from the horse's mouth. You know what I mean? That's a message from Muhammad. He on the way back. But in the meantime, between time, it's you and I. We back. We here. Another week in the books. How y'all doing? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That's what's up, man. I just had me a nice little sip of some cold Bustelo. You know what I mean? To get the energy. Get that energy up for y'all. You know what I mean? To crack the mic, talk to the people, see what's what. But I'm chilling. I'm feeling good, man. I am feeling good. I cannot complain. You know? Another week in the books. Living life, man. Just out here living life. Happy to be alive. Happy to be able to live the life. You know, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful life. Even when it's a struggle, because it could be the opposite. It could be over. You know, if you can hear my voice, man, that's a beautiful thing. You in the game still. We out here. You know, trying to shake off the hate and the stress and, you know, do your best. What do y'all do for stress? You know what I mean? Let me know. Let me know in the comments. What y'all do for stress? I was talking to my homies, my man Rosario. He was just like, man, I don't even be stressing. He said, everything I'm trying to do, everything you can do, you could do. He was really on some mindset shit, you know. I always like that. I go back and forth with that. Like, I try to keep my mindset as positive as I can, you know. Like, but, you know, I know what they say, faith without works, you know. Like, I definitely try to have some application to it, to just the feeling of it all, you know. It's to, you know, but with that, the mindset should be good. Try to be as positive as you can. Try to feel as though you could do it, you know. And when you don't know what you're going to do, take a step, whatever step it is. Just, you know, keep moving, you know. Anyway, that's the motivation. I feel like Steve Harvey in between Family Feud breaks. You know, I watch his clips when he doing that. When he doing it, you know, when they stopping down, when they taping Family Feud, he talked to the crowd, hit him with a little bit of inspiration. I forget what they call it, the motivation moment. You know, Steve got motivation. I ain't gonna lie, man. I do rock with motivation. That's why I like to do it. But I do rock with motivation everywhere. Ever since way back, from Les Brown to Young Jeezy. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, that motivation, man, that's gas in the whip, you know? Hopefully you got your GPS or you got your navigation right so you know where you're going, you know, and just go for it. Anyway. I'm just talking. I'm just talking, man. I cracked the mic, man. But yeah, nah, I feel good, man. What have I been up to? I've been messing with some canned fish recently. Not just sardines. I haven't had any sardines in a minute, but I think I'm going to cop a couple. But, like, I think I talked about it a while ago. The little lightly smoked salmon they sell at Trader Joe's in the pink can. That's pretty good. Then I pulled the trigger on some Fishwife. Fishwife is in the canned fish game. They do the sardines, they do the rainbow trout, they do the smoked salmon, but they kind of pricey. And I was always curious about it. I was like, you know, because what I like about it is I like the art on the packaging. Like it's cool packaging art. It's real bright. It's real fun looking, you know. And it made me say, and then, you know, and then the price point is kind of real, you know. So then that always be like, is it worth it? You know, that'll inspire the curiosity in me. So I went and got some of the rainbow trout, and it was all right. Shit was all right, you know. Yeah, the rainbow trout was show. Shout out to the LGBTQ. It's Pride Month. The rainbow trout. No, that wasn't even on purpose, but you know, look at the transition. I had some rainbow trout, an avocado on toast with some onion. I'm trying new shit in the kitchen, man. I'm trying some new shit, trying to figure it out. Trying to eat a little healthier. Cause I have been this week I did go kinda soul food heavy. I always see, you know, on the internet, that's one of them things. We're losing recipes as it applies to many things, right? But one of the things is like just literal recipes, right? So my sister bought a meal. Like, you know, the pop-up thing is a big thing now. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody don't have a traditional restaurant. So sometimes they just do a pop-up. They're cooking in their backyard. They're cooking in the front yard. They're cooking, you know. And, you know, listen, I grew up in the era of certain people selling plates, right? So I'm not foreign to the idea of going buy a plate from, you know, Miss Such and Such because she could cook real good. But in the internet era, seeing so much information, you know, with the internet and the camera phone and content, everybody showing you how they chef it up. You're in many different kitchens and you realize every kitchen isn't for me. I say that. I don't need every kitchen. Some people got the kitchen where they got the cat on the counter. I don't want to eat there. You know, they got the dirty looking kitchen. I don't need to see that. Shout out to my homie Sean, who sells like hand pies. I call them elevated pop tarts, but hand pies and good cookies. And you know, he bakes at the house and then he brings them out to the venue and he sells them, and they're good. And I had to say, I told him when he did it, he's a, you know, the last show that I did of his, when I bought some of his stuff, I was like, listen, man, the reason, this is my endorsement, or at least this is my assumption, that you don't have any roaches in your house, or you don't have too many, where it's like, oh, whoa, you know what I mean? Because for me to buy your food that you cooked at your house, that's me saying, you know what, I'm gambling on the fact that I think these people's kitchen is clean, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. You know, and it's just like sometimes you just don't want to see it is all, you know, you just don't want to see it. There's plenty of greasy spoons I go to quite a bit because they consistent and the food is fire. And I just want to grab my, listen, I'd rather just call it in, pick it up, maybe Uber Eats it, pick it up, like go grab the bag and get it out of there. I don't want to stand around. I don't want to look around. I don't want to see the kitchen because there are certain things already that are kind of got me looking at it like it could, I could see something I don't want to see. And that's gonna kill the magic, as they say in Disney. So, but anyway, I say all that to say, are we losing recipes? Because we ordered from this little pop-up, right? When these people that are cooking in their backyard, the setup is nice. I only seen a photo of it, and these are black people, and it was soul food, but it was like, it just didn't taste like what you would expect. Like everything, it looked how it should look, but the taste was off. The taste was throwing me. That macaroni and cheese, it looks appealing. It looked like this gonna be good. And then you taste it and it's like, nah, it's not coming together. I don't know what's going on with these greens. I don't know what's going on with these greens. I don't even know what type of smoked meat that is in the greens. What is this? This chicken ain't cooked all the way through. What's going on? What's going on, man? We need a ancestral intervention. Because there's a lot of people out here that are leaving the soul out of the soul food. And they hustling. And I just want to speak on it now, you know, but, I want to blow the whistle. I want to be a hater. Go get your money. But, like, come on. Come on. Don't lie to the people. Don't lie to the people, y'all. Come on. Don't let that gentrification affect the cuisine. You know what I'm saying? These are new neighbors. Your neighbors at your collard greens are, they're good. Yeah, I don't trust that palate. That's an asterisk on that palate there. Today, game one, Spurs versus the Knicks. NBA Finals, we have figured it out. It's going to be the New York Knickerbockers versus the San Antonio Spurs. I feel like the Knicks are going to take it, man. I just feel like there's a certain level of momentum and energy around this team that it feels more than hope. Because hope has always been an element. You know me. Hope for the best, expect the worst. This shit feels like there's some skill, there's some strategy. It's been effective. There's they clicking. They clicking, you know, and I like the kid Wemby quite a bit. I said that last week. I like Wemby. I like the energy. He's very old school. He's not here for all of the fun times. Very competitive, downright dirty at times, you know. I like that. I like that. I appreciate that. I saw his little press conference thing. I've been wanting this my whole life. Hold on, champ. You a young guy. You could wait a couple years. Nigga, there's a lot of other people that's been waiting. You young. You'll be all right. You will be fine. Not this year. If we could help it. Not this year. I hear you. I know you might feel like that's your destiny. But, man, sometimes I think you need a little bit of heartbreak to totally unlock the monster inside. Let this be part of your villain origin story. I'll buy you to the sequel, but this one, nah. I feel like New York need it, and I just feel like the energy in the city is just it's something else, man. It's something else. It's very hopeful for New York City. You know what I mean? Like the Knicks going to the finals, the Mamdani effect. You know what I'm saying? Like we out here feel good. Feels like, you know, like there's a lot of bullshit going on in the country and abroad and all over, but like, not to say New York is ideal, but it's some moments where like there's the morale has been pretty good this year. Morale has been pretty good. This is a good year going into the summer, man. So I believe the Knicks are going to do it. I don't know. I mean, some people saying Knicks and six. I don't, you know, man, I don't know all of that. I would, hopefully, let's see. Maybe, shit, imagine the Knicks just sweep them. Imagine they just keep up their, let this be the third broom. That would be crazy. But they play tonight in San Antonio. This first game is going to let us know a lot. Knicks have had a lot of time off. San Antonio fresh off of knocking off the, you know, the MVP and the, you know, the last year's champions. So they feeling themselves. But New York, baby, let's do it. Obviously, there's people that listen from all over. But listen, I'm in New York and this is just what I'm feeling. So I gotta chronicle it. You know what I mean? I gotta talk about it. This is what it is at this moment. Shout out to House Guest with Scott Evans, man. That's a good show. That's a good interview show. It's fun. It feels like a black adult Mr. Rogers. You know what I'm saying? Like I've seen a couple episodes, and I like that he gets a different type of interview out of his subjects. It's kind of like familiar, kind of like cousin like. You know, like I wasn't all the way familiar with the cat, but I seen him on In Bed with Bevy. Shout out to Bevy Smith, you know, former In The Conversation guest and, you know, beyond all of that. But, you know, her YouTube show, In Bed with Bevy, if you haven't seen it, it's really good. It's about people in the middle, you know what I'm saying, on their way to the next thing, but, like, they in the middle and trying to kind of unpack how interesting that is, how that might be the most interesting point of the career, of the journey, the, you know, the midpoint. But anyway, I think that was the, I'm almost positive that was the first episode. So that's where I, that's why I was really kind of introduced to him. I'd seen his stuff, like, on the algorithm, like, on the, you know, on YouTube, when I, you know, because I like to watch YouTube when I wash dishes. I don't know why it takes me a long time to wash dishes, because it don't even be that many. It's just me. But that's one of the things I do. I set up my iPad, put it above the sink, and I watch, you know, YouTube videos, because it just, it takes my mind away from the boredom that is just washing dishes. So, but that's been one of the things that I've been watching. Been watching a lot of interesting short films on YouTube too, like little sketches and even like just 20-minute films by a lot of black creators. I don't have anything off the top of the head that I could cite or suggest, but, you know, it's like once you watch one, it unlocks another and another and another. It's you know, that's the, how the algorithm works, but it's like, yeah, it's almost like a little short film festival, and I think it's kind of cool. You know what, too? Also, just random, shout out to the young girl, Fev, who out there on the fairway hustling these thirsty dudes out of their paper. I like to see that. But something about it, I like it. I love it. You know what I mean? I like the hustle. But it was something that made me feel like kind of overprotective, too. Like, be careful. Get that bread, but be careful. Because sometimes these motherfuckers, I don't know, we in a weird time. So, I don't know. It's just like that environment sometimes. That environment, that entitlement and you know, thirst and wealth Venn diagram could bring out the worst in cats, especially when they don't get what they want. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, be safe and hustle hard. So this weekend was the Roots Picnic, right? Plenty of artists performed. It's a long list of 2 days, long list of artists and, you know, great performances, I'm sure. But the big story from the Roots Picnic was Jay-Z headlining Young Hov. You know, it had been a minute since Jay-Z has taken the stage to do a full show. You know, you got the Yankee Stadium shows coming up in a few weeks. I still feel like there's some music on the way. I've been hearing here and there, like, the, you know, nobody is fully confirmed anything, but there's been a lot of, like, you know, wink, wink. But anyway, so Jay-Z performed at the Roots Picnic. I didn't go. Just off the rip, I didn't go. I don't really do festivals too much. I don't have the stamina for the festival like that. Like the outside, running around stage to stage and all of that, and then standing around in the heat. I'm cool on that. But Jay-Z performed. I watched the show on YouTube. Somebody filmed it, pretty much the entire set. And it was cool. I enjoyed it. I love the fact that nowadays, in the era of camera phones and actual, like, cameras, that, you know, you don't always have to be there to be there. You know what I'm saying? You get to see it. As a matter of fact, there was like a post coming out where they listed like a bunch of Instagram handles. If you want to watch it, there's going to be a live stream. And they talking about it like it's like a formal live stream. It's just people streaming from their phone. I didn't engage in too much of that, but I appreciate that that was there. And I totally forgot, like, it was Jay-Z performing at the Roots. I'd known about it, but I forget. I was fresh off of some itis. Not from that soul food that I had later on. Not from that newfound, that nouveau soul food. This was some, you know, tried and true. You know what I'm saying? It had me, had the itis. The itis be hitting me hard now. Like, that shit, That shit be having me nodding out, you know, like for sure, like that heroin. Anyway, I woke up. I see people talking about. I see the clip, and I said, "What the fuck?" I see. First thing I see is what looks like, you know, like kind of Bone Thugs or whatever. This is Jay-Z though. Jay-Z got a crazy fro. Fuck is going. Wait a minute, Jay-Z got a fro. What's going on? Because this is the thing. He did a rehearsal. He did a rehearsal the night before, and he had a hoodie on. He had a hat and a hoodie. So, you know, he got the wicks. So everybody like, the wicks didn't fit in the hat and the hoodie. Did he cut his shit? Did he cut down to the Caesar? You know, there's that whole thing of Jay-Z cut his hair, grow his hair, all of that hair related. There's an album coming type shit. So, you know, he's got so much mythology about him. So, like, there already was the speculation, right? I see this video. I see this cat with the wild Bone Thugs, Red Man, Method Man, you know, the fro, the blowout for the rollout, as my homegirl Nikki P said. You know, like, he just got the, I'm like, yo, what's going on? What is this? It was distracting at first. Like, yo, what's going on? All right, back. Cause I didn't know. I mean, I kind of knew, but I didn't know that you could just comb locks out like that. Like I've seen people like break locks apart, like when they start to stick together or bunch up or whatever, and you want to kind of, you know, if you got free form locks and then they start to lock into each other and they turn into a super big ass Dookie lock. I don't know if you're going to say that, but just a super, like a, you know, where they start to combine. And I've seen locticians like pull them apart and, you know, create like, you know what I mean? Separate them, break it up. But I didn't know you could just fully comb it out to where it's like, it's a little free flowing, little Diana Ross, Beyonce. You know what I'm saying? Like Hov had one of those. I said, yo, what's going on? I didn't entertain it too long, but then I was like, is that a wig? Is he gonna snatch the wig off? And it's old school Jay with the Caesar. Nah, he rapping. Anyway, he rapping. And he's doing the freestyle. And I done seen this freestyle probably about at least 10 times, at least at this point. And, you know, he slid on shit, everybody. Anybody that has something to say over the last couple of years, he spun the block twice. Pow, pow. You know, he let it off. Was it the best freestyle? I don't know about that. It was good. It was solid. Jay ain't never going to give you no trash. You know what I'm saying? But when I compare Jay-Z, I always compare Jay-Z to Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think there's a lot of us. Well, I speak for myself. I speak for what I see. I think there's a lot of Jay-Z fans that are kind of starved for new Jay-Z music. You know what I mean? And if it comes in drips and drops, whether it's the God Did verse or, you know, this freestyle, hearing here and there, it's like there's a level of excitement that is, you know, it's a fever pitch of excitement. It's a lot of excitement. Does it always match the work? I don't know. I think if I had to rate this, I'd probably give it a 3.8, maybe a 4 out of 5. You know, he has some joints. He says some things. I would like to hear this freestyle to a beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always tough when you hear a freestyle a cappella. The freestyle and furthermore the entire set, it kind of felt like it felt like watching an NBA All-Star during warm-ups. You know what I'm saying? Like they dribbling a little bit, they throwing up shots, but they're not playing at full speed, but they trying to build, like, work up a lather, you know what I'm saying? Get warmed up. Like it felt like that. There was a little bit of ring rust. I felt like delivery-wise, it wasn't as precise as Jay can be. You know, the breath control was a little, it wasn't where it could have been. You know, he being backed by the Roots. So anytime I see anybody backed by the Roots, you got to compare him to Black Thought. And Black Thought's Breath Control is like, I mean, it's in a league of his own. You know what I mean? So there were some lines in there, though. There was some shit in there. I don't even have the lyrics in front of me. But I mean, like, I think the first thing that caught me was, you know, that Shetty Patty down on his luck again, you know, teeth tumbling out of his mouth, you know, it's like, oh shit, he coming for Dame. You know what I'm saying? Is that he had his shit, he talked about the Ye thing, talked about he had a shot at Nicki, he had a shot at Jaguar, right? You know what I'm saying? That was slick. I don't even know why I still fuck with Quest. Introduced me to Jaguar. I don't know why I still fuck with him. Tory Lanez, Tony Busby. Who else? We said Kanye. I think probably a few other people, a couple other people. But he, you know, he shot at a bunch. Oh, Drake. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he shot at the people, and it was cool. It was cool. It felt like an exhibition. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, like it didn't feel like the finals. It felt like an exhibition. It felt like, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters. You know what I'm saying? Like I still do this. I ain't done it in a minute, but I'm still nice. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's one thing. You know, you got to give Hov the benefit of the doubt, man. He earned it. So I thought it was cool, man. I thought it was the freestyle. Like I said, it didn't blow me away, but it was solid. I will say this too. What I noticed about this freestyle, and I've noticed it with a lot of like quote unquote diss records, right? I noticed this thing of, you know, in the social media era, right? You know, there's Twitter, there's Instagram, there's Threads, there's all of that. Everybody got commentary about anybody that's in the public realm, right? Especially as your profile rises, people have their things about you. This person, you know, such and such. This is the narrative that goes on with other people, right? And I've noticed it probably, I've really started picking up on it with the, probably, I guess, the Kendrick Drake. Yeah, something else between it. In the Kendrick Drake battle, maybe something else. Definitely with this Jay-Z freestyle. Some of this stuff on the, yeah, the Kendrick Drake battle is when I really started noticing it. And then even with some of the stuff on Iceman and some of the stuff with the Jay-Z freestyle where it's like, I call it open source diss records, right? So like I noticed when Drake and Kendrick were going at each other, there were certain things that Kendrick said or Drake might have said that was already things that were going on. People were saying them online already. And you just kind of flipped it in a slick way. But it wasn't like an original thought. It was like, oh, that person said what everybody else has been saying. And for me, it kind of takes a little bit of the punch out of the diss. Cause it's like that, you know, we've heard that. That's not a unique thought. Like, and maybe that's just because we got so much access to everybody's take, and there's so many people that are doing what they, you know, especially in the comedy world, they call parallel thinking. When I write a joke, when I got a premise and I think it's exciting or I think it's funny, I think, oh, this one of them, I'll go to Twitter and I'll type it in and just to see if anybody else had that same idea. And if they do, I'm like, damn. You know what I mean? I'm looking at how they flipped it, or is it close to what I was coming to? And if it's too close, then I'm not going to fuck with it. Because it's just like the thought is out there. You know what I mean? But yeah, so now when I hear people saying things that have kind of already been said, it doesn't hit like it should. You know, like when Kendrick is talking about Drake and the young girls and all of that, like that was something that had been said. Or when Drake is talking about Khaled and he not saying free Palestine, that had already been said. And, you know, Jay talking about Nicki Minaj on that stuff. That's stuff that's already available, that's out there. That's like, we've heard that narrative again. We've heard that narrative before. It's just, you just, you put it in a bar. And it's cool, but it's like, all right, we heard that. And also in tandem with that is all of this decoding of freestyles like immediately after. Back in the day, you would sit with something for a while and you might not catch every line. You might not catch every line for years, right? You'd be like, oh shit, wait a minute. Just like recently, that whole thing with Cam'ron told the story of how Jay-Z dissed him on Otis. Yeah, the way Cam'ron years later talked about how Jay-Z dissed him on Otis. And until Cam said that, nobody even caught it, right? But now you seeing everybody like, yeah, if you notice, Jay-Z, his hand movement is mimicking the hand movement of Nicki when she was on stage. And it's like, is that true? Is that a reach? Is that, I mean, some of these internet sleuths, they're still unverified. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you see the shit on Genius and it's just there, but the artist doesn't say, hey, nah, that's verified. That's true. That's what I was doing. I think sometimes these artists be like, damn, this motherfucker's giving me way more credit. I didn't mean that, but I'll take it. I'll take it. They think I'm a genius. So, you know, it's interesting when you see all of the breakdowns and, yo, what he was trying to do here, what she was saying here. And if you look at it, you know what I'm saying? If you say it backwards, you know, or if you, you know, if you look at the third bar and the seventh bar, you put the third and the set of 3, 8, and 7 together, that's a 10, right? So, but beep, then you got to go to the 10th bar. And then you beep what was going to the 10th bar. I actually appreciate when rappers just let you, yo, feel how you feel. That's how you interpreted what I did. This is art. That's how you interpret it. That's what you got from that. I bet. I'm not gonna confirm or deny. Enjoy it. But people be saying that shit like they know for sure. Nah, nigga, I'm trying to tell you. Everybody know that. Overall, though, I watched the set. It was cool, man. It was cool. Like I said, it felt like warming up. It almost felt like rehearsal for the Yankee Stadium shows. I don't know if he's going to include the Roots in the Yankee Stadium shows. I'm curious. He probably will rock out with a DJ. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe it'll be a combination of both. Who knows? I'm curious. I'm really curious. At the moment, I'm not going to that either because them prices are kind of ridiculous. But I'm curious what that's going to be. My prediction is he's definitely going to cut the fro. He's going to have a Caesar. He's going to have a Caesar. Probably had a Yankee hat. I mean, shit. It's Yankee Stadium. He got a Yankee hat. He's going to go back to Hove. Because that's what I felt like when I was watching this. What was very interesting. Okay, so let's talk about it. Let me look at some of my notes. So Hove comes out, right? Comes out of the darkness, you know? And he stands for like 30 seconds on some Michael Jackson shit. Lets the crowd take him in. At least 30 seconds. You know, and the crowd is like, I think they confused because they seeing the fro. And Jay's never had a fro. Like, what's going on here? Who this? You know, a lot of people got acclimated to Jay with the wicks. So you used to that. You know what I mean? There's a couple Jay-Z looks. And it's only a couple. It ain't too many, right? Like, what's going on here? Who this? You know what I mean? Is this a standard? Who's this? This standing got a lot of audacity. And then Hovey's home. It's Hovey, baby. It's, oh, shit, that's Hovey. Get the fuck out of here. So he come out, and then he hit that, you know, I am back. Like, he felt that. I felt like there was moments in the set where he's performing the set. You could feel like him. It's like a motherfucker putting back on his old jewelry. You know what I mean? Putting the hat back on, looking in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? Tapping in. So your old scene shit still fit. You know what I mean? You know how you throw on one of your go-to fits that you haven't had on in a minute. And you kind of got to adjust it a little bit. You in the front of the mirror. You know what I mean? You got to take a step back. Trying to get back to the stance. How you used to, you know what I mean? How you used to stand. Used to stand different. You don't even stand the same. You try to get back into that same posture. That's me. You know, you trying to look back at yourself. So you bringing back the old you summoning, like you feel it. That's what I felt like at a lot of that. Like you could see it like when at the end of You Don't Know, when he threw up the rock, I think that was like the first time he threw up the rock. It was like when He-Man
puts the motherfucker in the sword with Castle Grayskull. Like, he was trying to summon the power of the diamond. Like, we back.
I need a Jay-Z album, a new Jay-Z album. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, much as I love all the stuff, all the catalog is unprecedented. It's one of the best catalogs in hip-hop. It's just like, after a while, you just let's get some new shit. That's why I think that's why people were going head over heels for the freestyle, because it's something new. And I'm curious what he's gonna talk about on this new album. I just want him to showcase the fact that he wanted the illest. He wanted the illest as far as flow goes, as far as, you know, just double and triple entendres, you know what I mean? Slick talk. He's tapped in, you know, to like some of the best production that money can buy. You know what I mean? Shout out to Lenny S. Shout out to Young Guru. Like, they, I'm sure, just as much as Jay got something to prove, I'm sure there's a part of them that's like, let me remind you motherfuckers. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of that. You know what I mean? Like, he said in that freestyle, he said, I ain't never look up to y'all. Y'all niggas looked up to me. Sometimes it's like, I gotta remind you motherfuckers. That's some of the best energy sometimes. Sometimes. Especially when it is, when it hits the mark. When it falls short, it could be sad. You're like, ooh, damn. Oh, you know. But when it hit the mark, you're like, oh, shit. I just hope he talking that talk. He ain't got to talk about hustling and shit like that. I mean, we heard it, but I don't want to hear wealth management, Hov. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear portfolio talk. Not too heavy on it. I know this motherfucker's a billionaire. I don't need to hear about, you know, your fucking, you know what I mean, your fucking, your accounts and things of that nature. I don't need to hear art collecting tips. Not too much of that. You know what I mean? We know you got the Basquiat's and the Warhols and all of that shit, but nah, nigga. What, give me a jam. Give me a few. At least 11 joints. At least 11 joints. You know what I mean? It's just like, ooh, some shit to drive around to. You know what I mean? To make a nigga feel young again. Because that's the thing. That's the generational divide. You know what I'm saying? Like, truth be told, you know, it's going to be hard for some people to really take. Jay Hov is a legacy act at this time. At this point in time. Especially since there ain't no new music out. You know what I mean? He's Mary J. Blige. You know what I mean? A certain level. You know, huge catalog. You know, the crowd. Crowd alum, the fans, you know what I mean? Come on now. GOAT, you know? But it is a generational thing, because I definitely see the Drake Mafia, the, you know what I'm saying, the some of the bot gang or whomever, you know, like kind of claiming, they staking their claim. This is your king, you know, doing that. It's like LeBron and Jordan. This who y'all think is the guy? This your guy? Because it's like, you know, if you're of a certain age, you didn't grow up with Hov. You didn't see the ascension. You know what I mean? Or you weren't old enough to really be outside or in the club or at the event, you know what I'm saying, in the world when certain records impacted, you know? And a lot of your formative years was scored by Aubrey Graham. You know what I'm saying? He's the guy for a whole new generation. So, you know, I think there's been, especially now that, you know, the shots are being a little bit more blatant, you know, and not hidden. Like, they just a little bit more overt. You know, the fan bases are getting a little bit more prickly. You know, I would feel like, I, you know, like there's the, it's going from respectfully to, all right, Pop, all right, that's enough. That's enough. You know what I mean? We get it. We see, we get it. No salute. You know what I'm saying? You had your turn. You know what I mean? It's going from, you know, respect. I know, you know, you wanted to, like, the deference is like melting away. You know what I mean? No pun intended, and it's the Iceman. But the deference at this point is like kind of, all right, yo, we get it. You coming back now? Come on. Don't come back and be Jordan on the Wizards. That'll hurt everybody's heart. Everybody over 37.
That hurt niggas. Ah, niggas had to be in the house for 2 weeks. 2 weeks strong. If you come back looking like averaging 17 and 4-7. I don't know. I'm just never.
Is Jasmine Sullivan the new Luther Vandross? Look, we ain't supposed to talk about people's weight. So I'm not even going to get too deep into none of this. You know what I'm saying? But there's, again, you know what I mean? We've seen a lot of new things. I mean, we did see the unveiling of new Jasmine when Ari brought her out. But like, you know, let me chill. This is just a thought. Don't hate me. I think the State Property reunion took the set to the next level. Like, it took the set to the next level because I felt like beyond that, it was kind of like, felt like Hov was on shuffle. You know what I'm saying? It was cool because the Roots, they so seamless how they could kind of like interlude it and go for, ooh, you know what I mean? Okay, oh, that's where we going? You know what I mean? It was a lot of that, but it's still, it felt a little meandering. But when that State Property, that little State Property interlude happened when Siegel came out during You, Me, Him, and Her, when Siegel stepped out of the shadows in Philly with the voice, but it's still Siegel. Come on, nigga. That was a moment for me, and I could hear it in the audio. It was a moment out there in Philly. That was State Property. That's Philly. Come on, That's Freeway, that's Siegel, that's Petey Crack, that's Young Chris, that's Neef. Who else did he bring out? What happened to Emil? I know for a long time they'd be like, and Emil is gone. They still don't fuck with Emil. Emil ain't getting no calls. This was the time you gave her a call. I wonder what's going on. I don't even see on the internet. That's another thing. You ever got, you salute to the people. Like, I have a certain level of respect for people that have no, and I don't know if this is a mill. I just don't be looking for a mill, but I don't know if it applies to a mill, but just broadly, I have a certain level of respect for people that have damn near zero digital footprint. Nowhere. Can't find them nowhere. Or if they are so embedded, like they are a sleeper cell. You know what I'm saying? Like they are the super finster. They are in the weeds of it all, you know. Cause I think particularly like old flames, you might want to see what they doing. You know what I'm saying? Some of the women from my past, boy, I don't know where they at. Maybe I'm just blocked. Who knows? Anyway, that was an aside. It was great to see Petey Crack. Now, I almost forgot Petey Crack was on Flipside because Freeway, you know, he's out here performing it by himself for so long, you know, and Petey's flow is special. It's that whole State Property, like that moment, man, when Rockefeller was like an army. You know what I mean? When Rockefeller was a movement, State Prop, Rockefeller, yay. Like, when they were, like, fully formed, like, on some Avengers type shit, it's unprecedented. Damn, boy, unprecedented has become beating the shit. Like, you can't even say that. But it was like nothing other. I mean, Young Money had a run, too. It wasn't as... The bench wasn't as deep, but I mean, damn. You know, so it was good to see that. It did still feel a little cold at the end. I was like, give it up for these gentlemen. These gentlemen. What? It used to be Rock La Familia. Now it's to give it up for these guys. These guys in town. Give it up for them. You know, he didn't even shout them out. He didn't even say, give it up for, you know, like the band. You know what I mean? He didn't even say, give it up for Petey. Give it up for Young Chris. Give it up for Neef, you know, like that whole saying your name still feel like something, even, you know what I mean? Even at home, you know, but listen, man, that's life though. That's life. You know what I'm saying? We cool. Good to see you. Yeah, man. Good to see you. Yeah. It's been a minute. You know the civil. You know when it's, you know what I'm saying? You know when it, we just being cordial. I'm just being cordial. It's a cool little opportunity. You know what I mean? We got to stay in touch. You know what I'm saying? We got to stay in touch. Your number's still the same?
Yeah. If you still, I think so. I think you got the number.
Oh, all right. Bet. I'll reach out. Yeah, man. It's good to see you. You know what I'm saying? The hug, the pounds to the hug ain't look all the way clamped. You know what I'm saying? Some of them hugs look half-hearted. You know.
This is the scrutiny of a fan. Again, like, this is all, I'm a fan. But I see what I see. I'm looking at it. Maybe I'm looking too hard. Damn, one of them motherfuckers are standing in front of the art for too long. Like, damn, nigga, how long is he gonna look at that painting? I'm looking at it.
That was it. I enjoyed it. Overall, it was good. I'm curious to see what the differences will be in the three Yankee Stadium shows. Will it be significant difference? Obviously, one is Reasonable Doubt, one is Blueprint. So obviously, that's just different material. And then the third is, I guess, the grab bag of it all. But I'm curious if the stage direction or the stage, like how it looks stage-wise, how it's going to be, if it's going to be different each night. Like, are they going to have, you know, what are the props going to be? You know, all of that type of shit. Like, that should be cool. Also, lastly, I will say it wasn't a lot of it, but Hov stage banter is really good. He's a funny dude and he's cool. Like, you know what I mean? Real, like, you know, it was a moment when he was trying to shout out the Roots and they was like, they were still playing all of the score in the background. You know, are you not entertained? You know, the shit from Black Album and shit. He's like, yo, sound man, you know what I mean? He had to settle it. Cause he wanna, you know, I wanna toast these cats. You know what I'm saying? Like, ooh. I was like, damn, I'm trying to make a movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was fun. It was like, all right, there you go. There was moments where you like, that's Jay. That's Hov right there. But anyway, it was good. What y'all think? Did you watch the whole set? What y'all think of the freestyle? What you think? How you feel? Do you think the album's coming? Whatever. Let me know in the comments. Slowly, I'm catching up on Hacks. I'm probably two episodes behind. I know they did the finale. I'm two episodes. It's fine. You know what I mean? It's fine. At some point, it becomes, when a show stays on for a certain amount of time, it feels like they painting by numbers. You know, they hitting the notes, but it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like you know what to expect. You know what I'm saying? It's like relationship fucking. You know what I'm saying? Like you know what to expect. You know what y'all do. Same with The Shy, the season 8, final season, episode 2. Cool. It's cool. You know, I'm locked in. We're going to finish up strong. We've been committed for however many years it took to get to these 8 seasons. One thing Lena going to do, though, is even if this is the last and final season, she's going to throw some new characters in there. Now, will she fulfill their storyline? That's up in the air. But there's going to be some new characters. There's going to be some storylines that just going to kind of peter out. There ain't going to be too much resolution all the time. You're going to be like, yo, whatever happened to, don't worry about whatever happened to, this is a new person. This is a new person. You got to be invested in this storyline. You know, and it's a lot. It's like when they did when the game did the One Blood remix with about 50 rappers. You're like, damn, nigga, how many verses? How many verses is going to be on this? Who is this? Okay. I guess I'm going to listen. How many bars? They all got 32 bars? Damn, you start looking at the MP3. That shit is only a third through. Man, this song is really 34 minutes. One song, one beat, one love. Do, 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 do. One love. I don't know if y'all remember that. Anyway, I'm tripping. I think that Bustelo is kicking in, honestly. Let's talk about Euphoria. The finale Let's talk about Euphoria, the finale. I am not going to do a play-by-play because that shit was damn near 2 hours long. It was a lot of beats to it. It was a lot of beats to it, and it'll be exhaustive. So I'm just going to tell you what I felt. You know, sometimes when I do watch it, and I watched it late Sunday night, and I knew, only reason I watched it probably like after midnight, and I saw that shit was like 2 hours, and there was a part of me that was like, yo, man, go to sleep, watch that shit in the morning. But there was a part of me that was like, nah, because I don't want to scroll and catch a spoiler. You know what I mean? Like, let me go ahead and watch this shit before the internet really starts to talk about it, right? You know, oftentimes, because I, you know, do these recaps here, I'll sit and I'll watch it with a pad and a pen or my notes app open or whatever, and I take notes as I go through it. I think the only note that I had, and this was early on in the in this show, and it's the only note that I had. I was like, Rue is an idiot. That's the only note that I had. And that shit is in bold. You know, when you start with the notes, it typically starts it as a title. So that was the whole shit. Rue is an idiot. This was the beginning where she had gotten away. And I guess it was one of them little dream montages where she's going to break Fez. You know, Fez broke out of jail. She going to pick him up. I got to go, Ollie. I got to, you know. Turns out that was just, a dream montage, right? That was before everything really happened. So let me look at what I had here. It opens up from the cliffhanger from last week after Fanny yelled to wake Wayne. Wayne wakes up. Rue grabs a big-ass wrench. Bow! You know what I mean? I be doing a lot of bow on the mic. You know what I mean? I noticed that. But smashes Wayne in the leg on the knee with a big ass wrench, cracks his whole shit. But Wayne still, you know. But this was what I really appreciated, and I was like, huh? When Rue snuffed Fanny, she snuffed Fanny in the way that quietly I think many of us wish she had snuffed Jules. You know what I'm saying? Like a couple episodes again. But it's good to see she had it in her. You know what I mean? But I guess the stakes got to be high enough. Anyway, ultimately, Rue's death. This is what happens, you know? So, like I said, there's that dreamlike sequence where Rue thinks Faz got out of jail. So she pulls up to where I guess they had agreed to meet. She don't see him. She's driving erratic. She pulls up to like to the one of the little alleyways behind, and she goes back to her old neighborhood looking for Fez. Cops is all over the place. I'm thinking she's going to get, you know, I'm thinking she's on drugs. You know, she still might have the drugs on her. Well, hold on. I guess we'll do a little beat by beat, not too crazy. Like I said, it opens up with Rue kind of fleeing the scene out of Lori's compound. You know, she punches Fanny in the face. She got Wayne damn near leg broken, but he trying to chase Rue down with the shotgun. You know, that reminds me of the old Eminem lyric, two broke legs trying to walk it off. I think that's the line. They chasing after Rue. She gets away. She's running away. And then here comes, I forget the other guy's name. He comes through on the damn horse and lassos her ass. And that was crazy. I'm saying, like, just the optics of it. You know what I mean? Just lassoing this black girl and just, you know, treating her like fucking steerage. I thought about, in that moment, I had to Google my man. I thought about James Byrd Jr., the man that was dragged in, was it in Jasper, Texas? Yeah, I thought about him. Rest in peace, James Byrd Jr. Not to make it heavy, but it's just optically, I was like, damn, you know. But this is what it is. It's television. This is, you know. He comes galloping, lassos Rue, pulls her. I'm like, damn, they done got Rue. But then here come my man G from behind the arc. Wow, they go another wow. Come from behind the arc, shoots him, like, right above, right in the clavicle, knocks his ass, knocked the polo man off your sweater, you know, knocks his ass off his horse. Rue frees herself. She gets in the truck with G, and they skirt off. They jump the cliff, four-wheel drive out of there. So they making it back to Alamo. Same time, Big Eddie is, you know, doing the run. You know, he got the ambulance doing the run with one of Lori's people. He got Kitty and the other girl. I don't even know her name, but they going down there. They get, you know, get a BBL and something else, a BBL and change, you know, but also, you know, get some bricks and a BBL. So anyway, so they doing that. And then on the way back, DEA think they got him. So they set the trap. They're following, you know, Big Eddie and them get over. They get through the border, and they on their way back to Lori's. And there's just a lot of shit being unsettled in Lori's house. Just a lot of, like, things that just, it feels like, you know, not premonition, but just feels like something's going on, you know, feels like right before it rains, you know, something's going on here. Something don't seem right. Right. So they pulling up, and then the DEA pulls up right behind Big Eddie and all of them. Right. And everybody is kind of figuring out what they're going to do. Damn. Lori was like, shit, I can't go to jail. I think Lori, she pulled the emergency stop. You know, she pulled the emergency stop call a little too soon, and she exits, you know, she exits stage left in a glorious hanging of herself off the roof. Boom, done. Only to find out when the DA cracked the truck that everybody shitting bricks. Everybody, no pun intended, but everybody, they nervous, you know. Eddie like, shit, you know what I mean? I got a colostomy bag, and I'm about to go to prison off this shit. This is crazy. They crack it open. There's a dead rat. You know, we already knew. We know. Cut to Bishop driving the ambulance dolo back up to Alamo by himself. The only tell in that was the Coca-Cola bottle wasn't in the new truck. And Lori's guy didn't even realized that they had switched trucks, but what happened here? They had switched trucks. They swapped trucks when you went to go get the girls. There were a few little devices where, like, I didn't catch it, which I thought was cool, you know? Like, I caught that they were obviously showcasing stuff, but I didn't catch it. Maybe because it was late and I wasn't as sharp, but there was moments where I was like, oh, okay, that was slick. You know, they get back, Bishop pulls up, got all of the, you know, got the bricks. It's a celebration. Everybody feeling good. Alamo blesses Rue with a fanny pack with bands in it. Here you go. You good. You know what I mean? Get yourself together. You look like, you know, you look worse for wear. You know, here's some Vicodin. You know what I'm saying? He takes a Vicodin with her. She takes a Vicodin, which is interesting that he took it with her, which is, you know, like, kind of rocking her to sleep a little bit. Like, I'll have a Vicodin with you so I don't really set off any distrust, you know? And then she was like, damn, I used to love these. You know, there's that former addict talk, right? Here you go. Here's a fanny pack full of bread. You know what I'm saying? Here's a bonus. You are the employee of the year. You did it. We did it. You know what I mean? Here, take this. Gives a whole bottle full of Vicodin. Don't ask me for no more, because I know you. Don't ask me for no more. Now, already I'm nervous. I'm like, damn, Rue got a whole bottle full of Vicodin. And she's legitimately hurt. She's legitimately in pain. But, you know, it's a slippery slope, especially when you're an addict. Damn. She breaks out. She goes to Ali's spot. You know, feeling like, you know, mission accomplished. She goes get stitched up. She gets her hand sewn up. And I guess she's back to Ali. She go kick it with Ali. And, you know, she got to kind of sleep it all off. You know, but now We all anxious. We know who Rue is. We know what you know. We know Rue is an addict. Once an addict, always an addict. You know what I'm saying? She's relapsed, you know, throughout the season, you know, and she's tempted. And again, like, she's legitimately in pain. So it's not like it's going to even be for recreational purposes. Then we got the dream sequence, right? The dream sequence where she goes to rush and go get Fez. Then later on is the dream sequence where she breaks into a home. So the dream sequence when she goes to connect with Fez, and they show the moment with Fez and her. They show she goes to connect, trying to find Fez, doesn't find Fez, sneaks into her old house, sneaks into the living room, sees her mom's. Her mother is sitting there reading the Bible. I believe it's Proverbs. I forget which scripture. Sees her mom's. Her mother sees her. You know, mother reaches out for her. She reaches out for her mom's. They embrace, you know, and I'm like, is this real? Is this, you know? And in that moment, it was definitely very dreamlike sequence, and it was a lot of illusions, especially with the reaching, with her hand reaching up, reaching out. You know, I guess this was all symbolic of the transition, Rue dying, right? But maybe it was because it was late, or maybe it was just because I didn't want to accept it, but I'm like, Rue ain't dying at this point. Not in this way. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's going to be something a little bit more dramatic. You know, it was sad, but it was fairly uneventful, you know, besides the dream montage and the moment with her and Fez out in the plane, you know, like, I guess crossed over. You know, it snaps back to Ali trying to wake her, and you see him processing that she died, you know. And like I said, while it was somewhat uneventful, it was definitely in my mind still like emotionally loaded, because you like, damn, you know, like Rue is Rue's the soul of the show, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, you know, like, she's so much the soul of the show. Like, when I realized, oh, damn, I guess she's really gone. Like, when I seen Ali write her name in the book with the rest of the fallen addicts that he's come across and he's tried to shepherd, like, when he committed her to the book, I knew it was real. You know, damn. It's like, oh, shit. You know, like, damn. But it was such a weight to that death, that all the other shit that happened in the rest of the episode, it paled in comparison, you know, like the Cassie and Maddie storyline, it kind of just petered out. It was whatever, you know. Rue just died. Like, Rue is she's the show. She's Euphoria. Zendaya gone, you know. Even Jules's painting of Rue, it was cool. Some people felt like they painted her. Somebody was like, she painted her burning in hell. I don't know if that was that, but, you know, who knows? But it was like, damn. You know, seeing Ali at the end avenge Rue's death was satisfying emotionally, but it was still a little unbelievable, you know, based on what we had seen from Alamo and his squad throughout the rest of it. Like, for Ali to come through there one gun and clear the scene like that. You know, I mean, shout out to Bishop for doing the right thing for the assist. You know, I felt like I knew he had it in him from the beginning. But, you know, like, yeah, like I said, everything else kind of was anticlimactic, because it was just like, I didn't listen to the podcast interview with Sam Levinson, but I believe this is the end of Euphoria. I know there was whispers that it might come back. We thought this show better not come back without Zendaya. Like, let it be done. Let it be done. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, everything else just kind of felt like, I wasn't as invested. You know, I will say that it's kind of unfortunate that Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney don't seem to fuck with each other. Now, I'm not sure if that's some MAGA related casualty, or if it's just something deeper, but it just felt like, You know, even like this was the first time I really watched like the after talk, you know, after the episode where they chop it up because they showed Zendaya's martini shot, you know, the final shot of the season or the series, you know, Cena, you know what I mean? It's a wrap on Zendaya, you know, you seen that, and then you see Sydney and Alex Demi, they talking about, you know, the season. Even the moment in the show where Lexi and Cassie are talking about Rue, and it was just like, you know, obviously it's Cassie as the character, but it was just like Cassie, like, she was an addict. You know what I mean? It just felt so like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? But the reality of it all, and I think Sam has said it somewhere. I think he said it in that after talk. The reality of it all is that's typically how it is. You know, like an addict's life is so fraught, you know, with just this quest to get high or to beat the addiction or whatever. But like, it, you know, addiction claims so many people, and it's not as dynamic as, you know, their everyday pursuit to get high. You know what I mean? It's not as erratic as their life. Their death could just kind of be sudden, you know? Like, that was the one point, speaking of symbolism or things that kind of, I don't say went over my head, but things I peeped, but I didn't really get all the way in it. But like, you know, when they kept showing the full bottle of Vicodin or Percocet, the full bottle with all the tablets in there, that was like kind of like false hope a little bit. You're like, well, damn, it's still a bunch of tablets in there. She ain't overdose off that. You know what I mean? She gets busy. You know, she's an addict. She knows her doses. She know where the line is. But then when you see Ali testing the tablets for fentanyl, I was like, damn, that motherfucker Alamo is fucked up. Like I said last week, that's a cold dude. You know, just cold hearted, like set her up with the fentanyl. It probably was all fentanyl in that thing. And it was just like, that was, yeah, it only took one to put her down, you know? But I think it's a fitting end to the series. Like, I don't think they should bring it back. I think it was, I think it ended how it was supposed to end. End of an era. I enjoyed the season. I did. I see a lot of people that are kind of over euphoria. I think it's become a little bit of a kind of popular to hate on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was a solid season. It was fun. You know, it was a roller coaster. You know, good acting. Funny shit. I saw an interview with Alamo, Daryl, and Marshawn together. I didn't know Alamo was another one of these Brits. You know what I mean? Cheerio. I was like, oh. It was like, I should have known. Should have known, of course. Old thespian from across the pond. But, yeah, man. I enjoyed it. What did y'all think? Let me know. I think that's it. I've been saying the last couple weeks, 9/20. September 20th, I will be at Arlington Draft House. Tickets are on sale. The link is on sale. ArlingtonDraftHouse.com, DamianLemon.com. I'll put out more stuff, put the links out. But right now, you can, if you're in the DMV area, come through. Come through. We're going to have a good time. We had a great time last time. I always like going down there. We're going to rock out. So come through. Tickets are available. Let's sell that bitch out. Tell your people, let's sell that bitch out. I'm really trying to put my foot in this shit. You know what I'm saying? Also, per our conversation, hashtag per our conversation. I'm going to start doing that in the stories. I've been doing that lightly, but I just want to brand it here on the mic. If I put up some shit in the stories or even on the grid and I got hashtag per our conversation, it is something that links to what we talked about or what I talked about. Or what we talked about during that week's episode. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe even the last episode or whatever. You know what I mean? Just to link it back so it don't look random. Because I do want to have some more, you know, some supplemental assets or just things that I want to highlight or things that kind of sparked what I was talking about. And I want to say, you know, if I reference some shit like this, things from last week that I was supposed to put up, that I will still put up. It's like, oh, per our conversation, this is what that is. You know what I mean? Like, okay. And again, man, getting them comments talk. I'm try to spruce up the grid. But talk in the comments, talk on the SoundCloud, talk on the Twitters. You know what I mean? I don't really do the threads. I don't do the threads. But IG, SC, you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, and Facebook. In the conversation. But like, yeah, man, I wanna hear from y'all. It's a conversation. That's it. That's it. I'll talk to y'all next week. But, you know, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. Or even an enemy.
Hello, to get a conversation. Hello.